Well, we welcome you here in the name of the Lord Jesus, and what a privilege it is to be able to bring you the bread of God sent down from heaven. And our purpose of heart, during the little while that we are with you, to bring to you in the morning sessions the Word of God, the value and virtue of the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And so we'll be dealing with Psalm 119. Then in the evening, we shall be concerned with missions. God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. And I'm so thankful to God to have the privilege of being able to present the challenge of the area here as well as the regions beyond. And because some of you are going away tomorrow and won't be back, I would like to illustrate tonight by means of picture that tiny little land, that landlocked place called Rhodesia, where all the powers about her are squeezing her in to a position where there's no way out. And she needs the prayers of God's people at such a time as this. So we'll be on Rhodesia, we'll be on Bermuda, and we will be on his land in the middle of the week. Now will you kindly turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119. We shall read three verses as an introduction, and please keep your Bible handy, for what God says is much more important than anything I have to say. Psalm 119, verse 89. And if you are careful, you'll notice a word that's used here in each of the three verses that I shall be reading. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now drop down to verse 152. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Verse 160. Thy word is true from Genesis, and every one of thy righteous ordinances endureth forever. So you see, it's fixed forever, 89. It's founded forever. And thank God, it endureth forever. Now I wonder if you've got the kind of Bible I've got. Maybe you haven't. But when you open Psalm 119, what have you got up in the top of yours, Brother Willie? Have you got a little olive? Good. If you'll notice, there's a little olive, and it's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, what have you got at the top of verse 9? Beth. And as you go down through this wonderful chapter, you have 22 letters. Why? Is there a doctor in the house? Well, is there a nurse? You know that the major bones and minor bones of the human head are made up of 22. And you know that when it comes to the things of God, we have three times 22. We've got 66 books, so that everything that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wants you to know, it's in the B-I-B-L-E. Now, supposing you were handling this book and you walked into a Jewish store and you said, I'd like to buy a Bible. You would call it Tanakh, because the first letter is T, the middle letter is N, and the last letter is K. Because one stands for the Torah, the other stands for the prophets, Nevi'im, and the last one for the writings or the Psalms. So when you walk into a store and you say, I want a Bible, all you say, I want the law, I want the prophets, and I want the Psalms. And it's so beautiful. Because that's the way the Old Testament is summarized. And I suppose if I was to ask you, like they've asked us in many a class, give me the greatest classic in all the world on a true woman, what would you answer? Well, you would turn to Proverbs 31, but it's in an acrostic. And it starts with who can find a virtuous woman. And it's all A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And it's a marvelous presentation of God's ideal woman. What a passage to read in such a time as this, Proverbs 31. Supposing you want to find out about God's thought on his city, the city of the future. And the city of the future, the city of destiny, is Jerusalem. Where do you read about that city in such a marvelous way? A whole book is devoted to it. And it's 22 verses, 22 verses, 66 verses, 22 verses, and then the last is broken up, 22 verses. Supposing you wanted to find an ideal type of life. Oh Lord, show me, teach me how that I may live. So you come to Psalm 37, and you've got the ideal life. It's all in an acrostic. So that you might learn and be able to retain it in your mind. And that's why we have A is for apple, and B is for boy, and C is for cat, and so on. Now when it comes to God's Word, you have the same thing. But you'll notice that in Psalm 119, you have the first 8 verses, and then there's a little division. And of course, if you're turning it here, you would see it at a glance, because it's A, A, A. Every single verse begins with A. And that's where you get the word elephant from. Aleph, that's where you get the word alphabet, and it means that which is first, that which is preeminent, the beginning. And here you have the basis of all blessing is founded on the Word of God. And that's why it starts off the same way as Jesus started his great message down there along the Galilee. Oh, the blessedness. The poor in spirit. Oh, the blessedness of those that mourn. And here, oh, the blessedness of the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And why do you have 8 verses? Because, you see, 8, if you know anything about the scriptures, we meet together on the 8th day, the resurrection day, the Lord's day. And it's so marvelous in the scriptures when it comes to the remembrance of the Lord, our responsibility on the first day of the week. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what a revelation that man of God obtained. And you have it used many times in the New Testament. Well, here is the 8th. And that's why there were 8 persons in the ark. Because they came out of the ark. And they started something new. And there's where you get the African, the Asian, and the European. And it was a new beginning. And it's the sign or symbol of resurrection. And that's why the word Shemona simply means to be more than full. And here you have 8 verses that are more than full. Everything that God wants you to know in time and in eternity. And I believe when we get to heaven, it'll be just an unveiling of all the wonders and riches that are found in the Word of God. Thy Word was found, Jeremiah said. That's the written Word of God. And Thy Word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's the living Word. And you never can divorce them. And when it comes to the scriptures, here you have a psalm. And it's no wonder Wilberforce, the great politician and emancipator in British politics, he's walking through Hyde Park and he's troubled, he's perplexed because of the many, many things that were weighing in upon him. And he sat and he turned to Psalm 119 and he read, Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And what an inspiration it was as he returned to the Houses of Parliament. And what about David Livingstone in the dark, dark days when he was lost to civilization? And Mr. Bennett sent out Stanley to go and find him regardless of the cost. And with tremendous expense, he sought for him. And after 9 months, he found him. And where did he find him? He found him in the depths of Africa. And he asked him, What is your stay? What is your staff? And he said, The word of God is my stay. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. And Henry Martin, that went away to India and was used in such a marvelous way in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. As a student, he memorized this chapter, the same as David Livingstone, the same as John Ruskin, the poet, the same as Francis Ridley Havergal. And here was a psalm that they tried to get into their heart and into their brain. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And what a blessing it is to be able to come to a word or a chapter. Why is it the longest? Because God knows best. And here you have the longest chapter in the Bible. 22 sections of 8 verses each. And they all begin A, B. And the marvelous thing about it is, there are 7 parts of your human body, and that's why it's called the anatomy of the soul. That's why an ancient writer described it as a summary of Christian theology. That's why the old Germans used to interpret it as the golden ABC of the praise and the use and the value of the Word of God. And 35 times you have thy word, thy word, thy word is like a garden, Lord. We've been reading about it and singing about it. And to me, it's been such a blessing. And when a thief walked in and stole all the notes and the things that I had done over the years, it broke my heart and it troubled me. And I was really agitated. You see, one day I was in Jerusalem, and I was in a Roman Catholic monastery, and I found an old book, one of the oldest, on the Hebrew alphabet and the wonder of the Hebrew alphabet. And I was able to get it. And I took that book, and I used it, and I wore it threadbare and cut out pieces and put them together. And then I found another old book away down at Sinai concerning this particular psalm. And I utilized those two books to the full. And then I saw the dirty paw of the devil as he allowed this manuscript to be taken. And it was taken by a thief. But what did it do to me? Well, I thought perhaps God wants me to start all over again and do what I can and get honey out of the rock, because a man's memory fades as time goes on. But I've lost the notes over many years. But nevertheless, I've got this book, the B-I-B-L-E. And that's what we've been reading about. 3 times in this chapter, Psalm 119, you have the word forever. And the first one is a word that has to do with the military. It's like marshaling. It's like commanding. And just like the constellations, the stars, and they all have their appointed order, so when it comes to the Word of God, there's an appointed order. And that's why I don't think there's any book in all the universe like it. Can a man trust the Word of God? Is it relevant for the hour in which we live? Can we actually trust in the living Word of God? And here he says, forever, as far as God is concerned, it's settled, and the Word is fixed. It's like a pillar. And what though nations rage as we approach the end of the age, God's Word is going to remain. And when it comes to your life and my life, it's no wonder that Jesus Christ said to Mary and Martha, thou hast chosen the better part, and it'll never, and he used one of the strongest words in the world, it'll never be taken away. Why? Because we may serve as Martha. We may stand as a living witness to the truth as Lazarus. But there's no place in the world like the place that Mary took, at his feet in her grief. At his feet to learn of him And God says it'll never be taken away. Why? Heaven and earth shall pass away, not his word. And if you died today, what do you take out of this world if you died today or the Lord came? The only thing you'll take out of this world is the word of God. Naked you came in. Naked you're going out. But what you take of the word of God will live. And here's my father-in-law. And now he's bedridden after giving his life for God and the gospel in Africa. Robert McLaren. He can't talk. I can't get very far with him. But I just take his hand and I say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And while he can't speak, the smile will come. The weakening hand will get a little stronger. Why? What God has put within, nothing will ever take out. And that's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you go down through these verses, what do you discover? Well, you discover that in the New Testament, when it comes to the Bible as relevant for today, we read that all Scripture is God-breathed, or given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for four things. Then we read the word of God is sharper or powerful than any two-edged sword. And that's a famous verse. Then you read holy men spake of God as they were moved by the Holy Scriptures. And there you have the permanence of the word of God, the purpose of the word of God, the purity of the word of God. Have you got it here? Yes. Let me read a verse to you. And it's almost here on the surface. And I believe that's why he's put it this way. It's in chapter 1. And it's in verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the ordinance of thy mouth. And there's the word of God from the very mouth of God. Look at verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. You can count on them. Look at verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false word. There you have the inspiration of the Scriptures. There you have the inerrant quality of the word of God. There you have the word of God that's infallible. It's superior to all other things. And would God that we could get back to the Bible. And you see, I go here, I go there, and I listen to messages, and I'm concerned with the proclamation of the glad tidings, the grace of God, and that's why I went to Africa. But you know what I miss more than anything? I miss the word of God. And when you're on the foreign field, if you saw another brother coming and he had a word from God, you would say, "Say on," because your soul, lots of times, longs for fellowship. But I come to a place like this, and you can feel it. And as the Scots say, it's better felt than told. You can actually feel it. And you know, because we're bound up in this one wonderful bundle of life with the triune God. And when you're away out in a foreign field and you're following on for God, what sustains a man and keeps a man and makes him bright and makes him authority? What gives him that inner quality that seems to go on an extra mile in another culture, among a black people, in the midst of all that's happening over the world? What keeps the man fresh and vibrant? It's the word of God. And that's why Jesus had it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And inasmuch as the word of God is in your life day after day, you're going to live. And when this old poor frame begins to fade and our hearing gets more difficult, our eyes are not what they used to be, we can't get around as we once were able to, the Bible's got it all. The greatest classic in the world concerning life before birth, your birth, where is it found? Prenatal birth, found in the book. What's the greatest of all chapters when it comes to the breakup of the human body? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And if we come to the Word of God, you can't escape it. I can't escape it. This is life. And that's why that great statesman said, what shall I cry? What shall I say? And God gave him the answer. There's only one thing. All flesh is as grass. And the glory of a man is the flower of the field. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Get to the Bible. And as we get to the Bible, you'll discover in the darkest day of your life, when the greatest of sorrows may overwhelm you, and as a woman you lose your mate, or as a man you lose your beloved, what sustains you? What keeps you? He even tells you, I'll be a husband to you as a widow. And you can feel his arm if you get to know him. For faith cometh by hearing. And it's hearing by the word of God. I'm glad Mother gave me a name, Samuel. They don't often use it. But I got a middle name. And what does it mean? Heard of God. And little Samuel as a boy heard the voice of the living God. And throughout his life, he became a man that lived according to what his name meant, heard of God. And it's no wonder Jesus Christ himself said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. We've got ears. But the Word of God is such a book that I must come to it prepared. I must come to it with a desire to learn. And that's why throughout this chapter, seven times, teach me. And that's why I like to read it again and again on my knees, and I pray, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And the first thing that's brought out here is forever. It's settled. Where was it settled? In heaven. And yet God picked up human instruments, perhaps 40, over a period of a little over 1,500 years, stretching hundreds and hundreds of miles. And he caused them to write. And then he brought this marvelous book together. And it doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. And regardless of what I may think, this is a book that's forever settled. Because everything I need to know for time and in eternity is found in this marvelous book. And long before you get to heaven, you can have some of heaven in your soul. You can experience days of heaven on the earth. Your soul can leap for joy as Abraham's did when he saw the day of Christ and he rejoiced. And as you come to the Word of God, if we go the right way and we're reading it every day, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, what will happen? The very day that you may need a word for someone or your own soul, some perplexity, some problem, you can stake your all on what sets the scriptures. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, what did he quote from? It is written. What book did he love? Well, he quoted many, many times from the book he loved, Deuteronomy, and to a Jew it's so precious. They call it the five, because the first five books of the Bible are so precious. Then the book of the Psalms he quoted time and time again. Isaiah alone about 60 times. But when it comes to this book, the Psalms is divided into five sections, and that's why you pick up your Hebrew Bible and you have book one. And then every section ends with a marvelous doxology. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! And then you start a new section. And that's a marvelous discovery. Why? Because the five books of the Psalms are related to the five books of Moses and men far beyond myself years ago as written, like Mr. Pearson and F.W. Grant and Darby and a host of others. And they've linked them. And that's why when you pick up the Psalms and you begin to read, Oh, the blessedness of the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you begin to read the Psalms, and then you come to a next section, and then you come to the final section where I have read from. What's the great emphasis on the final section? Well, it starts way back. I think it's in Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks. And then it goes right through to Psalm 150. And what's the great theme from 107 right straight through? It's the Word of God. And that's why in relation to Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Word of God is to be on your walls. The Word of God is to be like a frontlet. The Word of God between your eyes. The Word of God on your hands in doing any business. The Word of God is to be the directory of your feet. And in all your ways, in everything pertaining to home life, it must be the Word of God. And that's why you have a section, how to build a home, in verses 9 through to 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the only way to build a life as a boy, or as a young man, or to build a home, it must be built on purity. And if it isn't, it'll come crashing down. And that's the kind of age I'm living in today. And the reason why homes are going apart, and the reason why there's so much breakup, is because we don't have the sanctifying power of the Word of God. And we don't read the Word of God with our children. No wonder the Chinese had, one of the Chinese had as a motto, no Bible, no breakfast. How important it is today. And so here you have the Word of God forever settled. And you can count on it. In the midst of all the changes, in the midst of everything that's happening today, you can rest upon the sure Word of God. And then the Word of God, what about the past? He says, concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast founded them forever. They're tried, like the old lady Teepee, tried and proved. And you can go through the Scriptures, and if you need a word of counsel, or need a word of wisdom, if you need a word of strength in the midst of your week, it's all here. Because forever has to do with today. I know it's fixed. I know it's settled. And I know that all the great trunk lines of truth all work together. There's kingdom truth. There's church truth. There's grace truth. There's prophetic truth. But all the great trunk lines of truth run into Grand Central Station, the book of the Revelation. And everything is going on according to schedule because God is still on the throne. And you and I have an unerring guide. We can rest upon the sure promises of God. He went away. He's coming again. He's never broken one of His promises. And there are hundreds of them in the Bible. When was the last time you claimed one? And here He says, I've known of old. Thou hast founded them forever. What does it mean? Well, see how He dealt with nations. See how He deals with individuals. And whether it be a nation, a community, a congregation, an individual, read these words from God and accept them from God and take them into your heart, and God will prove to you that the pathway of the Christian is as a shining light that groweth more and more unto the perfect day. And that's why as you come to the Word of God, you have mountain truth in Psalm 22. You have mountain truth in Psalm 24. And then you have truth for the valley, Psalm 23. And again in this wonderful book, you have certain chapters linked together that should be read at a setting. And if you read 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you'll cover your book, your Bible, in a year. And it's not reading the Word of God or getting some sermon. It's reading the Word of God for the nourishment of your own soul. You don't need to be a student. You don't need to know the Hebrew and the Greek. It's getting the Word of God into your heart. It's meditating upon it, thinking upon it. And say, oh Lord, I believe. I saw a text. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth me shall never die. And then he goes, believest thou this? Do you believe? Well, if we believed in the resurrection and we believe that the Lord Jesus is coming again, and we believe in the promises of God which are exceeding great and precious, then I'll stake my soul upon what God says. I'll get this word into my heart. And what though hell should endeavor to dislodge me, and what though the devil comes in fierce attacks on a lonely mission field or in the darkest hour of the night, I've got the Word of God. I've got it. And that's why you might as well try and rip the skin out of my life. You'll never rip out of my life what God has put into it. It's going to live forever. That's why I know I'm a Christian. And this is what we need to get back to. This is the way our nation was founded. This is the way it started. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And they bowed their heads. And they read the Holy Scriptures. And it's forever founded. And then I go to university and I pass through the schools of men. And they tell me that you cannot believe it. It's only parts of it that are inspired. You cannot really accept it. You cannot. It contradicts it. All kinds of things. Look what it says. 160. Thy word is true from Genesis because Bereshit in the beginning. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous ordinance endureth forever. And as I face the future, and as I see things getting worse, as I see the rise of demonism, as I observe the return to the occult, as I listen to the mocker and the scoffer, where is the promise of his coming? I get to my Bible, and I discover a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. I discover that in the things of God, He's eternal. I'm just finite. He's great. I'm just small. 7 times in this book, in this chapter, I'm small. I'm a pilgrim. I'm weak. And you learn things about yourself you'd never learn in any other way. And then you lay hold by faith in the Word of God. And what do you discover? Well, you discover exactly what I discover. In verse 1, it's a path. And the path is straight. And you can absolutely count on it. In verse 9, the Word of God is like unto water. And I can keep myself clean in spite of all pornographic literature and everything that's going on in this world today. In verse 54, he says that the Word of God was my joy in the house of my pilgrimage. Look at it. Verse 54. These are just a few things. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. There the Word of God is like unto a song. It's my path in verse 1. It's like water in verse 9. It's a song in verse 54. It's like gold in verse 72. Look at it. It's not what I say. It's what God says. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold. And so men don't believe that, but I believe it. So silver and gold have I none, but such as I give have I give. That's why I went to Africa. Look at verse 103. It says in 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey, because everyone knows that honey contains every vitamin. There's food to make me strong. Then it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's the Word of God is a light so that I can be guided, I can be directed personally and publicly, individually, nationally, and so on. Then look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my... See, it's my heritage. Because I was brought up in a godly home. Father's gone. Mom's gone. And many of us have got those that have gone. What do you remember about them? I remember the Word of God that He taught me. A humble, hard-working man. But here in this marvelous chapter, the Word of God is a path. And if I want to be happy as a sandboy playing on the beach, if I want my life to be filled with the wine of God, if I want my life to be full of vitamin B, if I want to remember my heritage and all that God has given me, it's all here. And that's why I respect His commandments. And that's what it says here. I have respect, verse 6, I have respect unto all thy commandments. That's why he says, verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. There are 31,173 verses in the Bible. Have you memorized any? What's the center one of the 31,173? What's the center of the Bible? What's the very heart of the Bible? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in men. That's God's word, not mine. And God knows you and God knows me. We're weak. We're fallible. We're subject to mistakes. And that's why in the things of God, I don't know the way to take. We've had to make a move. I don't know what lies over the threshold, but I know that life at best is very brief. I know that my day will soon be spent. But what I have in this earthen vessel is the treasury of God, and He's put it within me. And I have the living word, Jesus Christ. I have the written word, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And so I follow what this man says, verse 81, my soul fainteth, because I know something about it. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. What need we more? We have got the word of the living God, and He's never broken one of His promises. And as I come to His wonderful book, the B-I-B-L-E, I just thank God from my heart. I've got it. Why does He use 10 different names for the Bible in this chapter? Like statutes, law, ordinances, ways, testimonies, precepts. Why does He do it? Look at yourself. That's why He's given you fingers on each hand, five toes on each foot. That's why we have the 10. Because under God, I am morally responsible to the Creator of the universe. I'm responsible to God for what I do with this wonderful book, the B-I-B-L-E. And God has given it to me. It's my heritage. Where would I be without it? I'd have nothing. But I've got this book. You've got this book. And as long as we live in the face of the earth, God has committed into your hands this wonderful treasure. May the Lord help you to evaluate it, to appreciate it, to esteem it above silver and gold, because it's through the Word of God we're made wise unto salvation. It's through the Word of God we get light on the future. It's through the Word of God that we can have direction and purpose for the present. And it's through the Word of God that we've learned of Him whom our soul loveth, the Lord Jesus. And that's why may we close in singing, I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We'll travel together, my Bible and I. 638. In the will of God on Tuesday morning, we'll take the first 8 verses, the basis of all blessings. And then, how to endure in a time like this. And we'll end up by bringing before you the 7 outstanding things that the Bible brings to a man in this life. And they're all found in Psalm 119. Number 638. Ernie, would you close, please?
I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. I have a wonderful Savior, He took me into His favor, governs all my behavior since I made Him mine.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, what a responsibility it is to have a book like this in our possession, to have the opportunity to read it and to talk about it and to embrace it without any fear of being persecuted or ostracized because of this. Since our privilege is so great, we ask that thou wilt deepen our sense of responsibility as far as the Bible is concerned. So necessary that we should read it and read it regularly. So necessary that we should live what it says. So very necessary that we should pass it on to others. We thank thee for reminding us again of the treasure that it is. And we ask that because of what we have heard, we may appreciate it a little more and live it a little more faithfully. Dismiss us with thy blessing, we beseech thee, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.